Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I do want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just a couple of things that I do want to touch on. The banquet coming up November 1st, the driver's banquet, that is, RSVP is due for that by the 21st of October. So what's that, about a month away, 5, 6 days. So make sure that you get RSVP'd. I hope to see everybody there. Should be a great time. Always a lot of fun seeing everybody. A little bit earlier this year than we're used to, but you know, that might not be a bad thing. So I just want to touch on that before we get underway here. And also, through the rumor mill, a lot of people asking about classes we're going to drop, street stocks, four cylinders. Nope. As of right now, nothing getting dropped for next year. So don't believe everything that you hear. I've heard some crazy things. So just don't believe everything that you hear. And get underway with a driver interview this week. They are brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they will come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. And I am pleased to say, I believe I haven't talked to Connor, but I believe that I will be joined by, well, I'd have to imagine one of the only husband and wife teams that race against each other, Connor and Isabel Brown. Just got married this year, just came back from their honeymoon also, so should be a good conversation with them. Let's go ahead and get them in here. So Connor, Isabel, how you guys doing today?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good, happy to be here. Glad to be here. So I know you guys didn't race, I guess probably a lot of the year. I think, Isabel, what, you raced 4, 5 times, and Connor, how many times you race this year?
5 or 6, one or two more than she did at
Okay.
Outlaw.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you didn't have a very, I'm gonna have to shut this off because I'm not gonna lie to you, our race director's texting me and he's been blowing up my phone all day. So
Mad.
but where was I? So that doesn't mean that you guys didn't have a very eventful year this summer, because I know that you guys did a lot of cool things. And Isabel, whenever you pulled into the racetrack, I think you just about won. So that's gotta be pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a really good summer. Very busy. We got married. We went on our honeymoon. We fixed a bunch of stuff on our house. Just busy, busy, busy. So when we did get the chance to, it was really nice. But yeah, we had a really good year, so we're hoping to have another good one next year.
Right. What are your guys' plans for next year? You both gonna race more than you did this year? Or?
We're hoping so. We've been talking to a couple of sponsors, maybe modified. We'll see. But I don't know. It's all talk, but we'll see. But we're hoping to race a little bit more, but it is nice to go do some other things sometimes, so.
Right. Connor, what about you? Are you gonna?
Kind of, we'll see how it goes when the time comes, but I plan on racing more than last year anyhow, at least.
Right. How does it, I gotta ask this question, and I please don't get mad. How does it feel to get beat by your wife?
Not like what most would think. It's more being proud of her and seeing how awesome she does and how awesome she is, and it's not what most would think.
I was gonna say that I would think it's awesome because you're a damn good driver yourself, and then when she's just out there on a different planet, it's gotta make you feel pretty cool.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't believe the competition between the two of us, even in the smallest details in everyday life. We pick on each other and everything's a competition.
Can't help
Okay.
ourselves.
So you guys are bragging to each other all week then if somebody finishes ahead of the other one.
Oh yeah.
Jokes all week from everyone. It's
We
just a thing.
still rag on each other about how one or the other finished from a few years ago, and oh, remember this time I did that, and oh, remember I did better than you this time, and it's nonstop.
Hey, that makes it fun though, right?
Yeah.
Oh
We
yeah.
can't even play Uno. Like, well, we have a Uno night like every Thursday. We have a bunch of people over, and I can't even do that without being competitive.
Yeah, it gets a little feisty sometimes in here.
So are you competitive too, or is this coming from both sides, I guess?
Yeah, definitely both sides.
Yeah. So how Isabel, how did you get started in racing?
So my dad bought me a yard cart when I was 4 for my 4th birthday, and I actually hated it for like the first year. And then when I was 5, I finally got into it, drove around the yard for a while. And then when I was 7, my dad, he's an engineer at Hilliard, so he does all the racing clutches and stuff. So he kind of got me into it. I was this test dummy for the first couple years. So that's kind of how we got into it. And then he couldn't get me out of it once I was in it. So.
So what made you make the move up to a sportsman?
So a couple good friends of ours actually, and then Billy Van Pelt too. We ran into him a couple times because he actually flagged at the track, at the go-kart track that we were at. So we talked to him and he was like, yeah, that's the best way to go. Like, don't go into anything else that's going to be like the closest to what you're used to. So we kind of ran out. I don't know. I wouldn't say ran out of competition at the go-kart track, but we were winning like every week and I kind of got bored.
Yeah, need a little better, bigger challenge. Did you ever think about getting into anything other than a sportsman, or was that pretty much?
That's pretty much, I mean, we didn't really know much about it. I mean, I'm like the first in my family to ever race. So I actually, the first time I ever went to Woodhull in the car was the first time I've ever been there. Like, I never even been to watch any of it before. So I had like no idea the first time we went. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to go out there? That looks bigger than what I thought. So it
Right.
was kind of a big change, but I don't know. Once I'm in the car, I don't think about it. So,
Well, that might be the most polar opposite, Connor, from you, I think, right? I mean, never being to Woodhull until you drove got there with the car.
I couldn't even count how many times I was there, being that my father had raced since 1987, and he's just always there, never missed a weekend, and until my brother and I got into the sportsmen's, and then eventually I got him back into a hobby stock. So, but yeah, the racing started with me. My grandfather and my dad picked up a go-kart off of eBay, back when I was like almost 4 years old or whatever time frame. It was somewhere between 3 and 5, but I was racing, I think, the end of the summer at 4 years old in a go-kart.
So you both
So,
started really young.
yeah. I always tell him he has years on me though, so that's even more impressive.
Yeah,
Well,
I get
maybe
hounded
for
about
you.
that. I did get asked that I wasn't going to say it, but now that you opened that door, that with you having so much years of experience, how does it feel to have her just whipping on everybody?
Well, it goes back to that whole
Yeah.
competitive thing. It sometimes it stirs the pot pretty good, because I'll get the you have over 20 years of racing experience, and I've been racing for this long, and the bear gets poked, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show her talent. I mean, that's pretty incredible, really, the amount that she's accomplished just in the, because how long have you been driving a full size car? What is,
La this last year was 5 years.
so 5, so
Well,
was,
yeah.
yeah, is I think it was 5, yeah.
Yeah, 5, I think.
We'll have to call we'll call it 5 and a half then. Because
Yeah.
we're not going to count this past season as a full season.
Yeah. Well, actually, is that 4.5 then?
Yeah, that would be
Like four
four
and a
and a half.
half. 4.5, yeah. So how does that
Four
feel that
and a third. Oh,
four and a
four and a
third? Yeah, that's
third.
probably more accurate. So how does that make you feel, Isabel, that you pull in there and you've got and really I don't know much about, I can tell you it's really hard to drive a sportsman. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but I
Oh,
was
yeah,
going
you see.
very slow and I thought I was going very fast. So I guess just how does it feel to be able to just go there in the year that you had where you didn't race much? I think you won twice at the beginning of the year and then came back and won twice at the end of the year. So just being able to hop back in and pick up right where you left off.
It feels good to do it like that because, like I said, I'm very competitive. So, like the first couple years when I was kind of just getting used to everything. My dad and I both got very frustrated because it's like we were used to winning all the time in go-karts, and then you go to like here and there, finishing in the back or wrecking here and there, and it just takes a little bit of getting used to. So now that we can like go a few times and do well, then like if that's what makes us happy.
Yeah, it's got to be a good confidence booster. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to run off on that front, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure. But I like starting like mid pack at least, because I think pretty much every there might have been one time where I started on the front row and I won this year, I think, but the rest were like six,
I think 7th and 10th
seventh, tenth. Yeah,
were two of them.
because I'm gonna be honest, when I win from the front row, I'm like, oh, okay, like yeah, like I'm happy I won. But when like the further back you are, that's what makes it feel better.
Those ones feel really good.
Yeah.
That's what Dayton Brewer said too, is that it's a lot of fun to pass cars. And
Yeah.
he said it's cool to win, but it's a lot of fun to pass them.
Yeah.
It feels a lot better when you have to earn them instead of starting on the front row every week and winning them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, sometimes it's nice to start out front, especially when you got a big money race and
Yeah, that is true.
sometimes just the way the luck goes, I guess. So I got to ask, how was Italy, right? How was Italy?
It was awesome. Connor wants to retire there.
Yeah, I was joking around the whole time because it's beautiful. The people are awesome over there, and just the way of life and how everything is and the food over there is incredible. And we were joking around, saying the whole time we got our feet kicked up, sipping on a glass of wine. And like, man, I could retire here.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that think that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was there a
Yeah, a
problem
lot of
with the
walking.
lot of walking? Was there a
Yeah.
problem with the language, or was that
Not
not
really.
really?
There was only like a few little places, 'cause we stayed up like on the mountain in Italy. So like way up where there weren't very many tourists, there was a couple people that didn't really speak much English, but we kind of got by for the most part.
Yeah,
But
the part that we were in. Most of it, a majority, I would say, was a little more authentic than some of your more tourist options, where people tend to hover toward when they go that direction. But it wasn't too bad.
yeah, well, that's good. That's awesome. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. I don't know if that's
yeah.
up in my cards, but
Yeah, the place we were staying, we walked down into town one day, down into Positano, and the lady that owned the Airbnb we stayed in said it was 2,000 steps all the way down to the bottom. So we walked down 2,000 steps and then like 2 miles into town.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk for like 2 days.
I think they counted wrong. It was probably more like 3,000, it felt like.
We were halfway down and our legs were shaking. Like we're never going up any steps again.
Yeah, I've never exactly had a problem with physical activity, and my legs were shaking. We were most of the way down, and I was starting to feel it in my knees.
Did you have to go back up then after?
Oh no, we took a bus back up. We were like, I halfway down, I was like, I am not walking back up.
Yeah.
We just came down. It was like stairs like this
Yeah,
too,
they're
like
straight up and
huh.
down.
It
Yeah.
was
Yeah,
a lot.
I was surprised because I figured you'd get halfway up because you're both pretty fit. I mean, I could see me getting tired on the way down, but you're both in pretty good shape. I figured you guys could make it down, but that many steps, huh? That bad.
Oh,
I don't even know if that was a number to put on it. There was a lot.
yeah, let's just say when I went to like get out of bed the next morning, I stood up and my legs just about collapsed. Like it was bad.
Yeah, it
You
was.
guys, did you do that
Yeah.
on the first day?
It was the second
Yeah.
day, and I had a cold when we went there. Like I was stuffy still, so I couldn't breathe. My legs hurt. I was like,
I
oh no, we
had both
do.
my pockets stuffed with tissue.
Yeah, of course you guys were sick, right? That's how it would go.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, I was sick the week of the wedding too. And I normally never get sick, like seriously, ever. He used to get sick all the time, and then
Yeah.
we traded
He's
spots.
gone. I was gonna say maybe he's wearing off on you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so we actually ended up renting a scooter too, a couple days in, because it normal driving here on the road to get to our Airbnb and back to town, it'd probably take like 10 minutes around here. There, because it was so windy and narrow, it took like 25 minutes, and you're on a straight down sheer cliff with a road that's just carved in the side of the mountain.
Yeah,
So
it was kind of funny because everyone that I talked to, like all my clients and stuff, they're like, whatever you do, don't rent a car, don't rent a scooter, like just take the bus because it's like right on the edge of a cliff. Like you can see the drop from the road and like there's no room on the roads. They're like, it's terrifying. And then I came home and I was like, oh, we definitely can do it. Like we both race, we can do it. And we got there. I'm not gonna lie, there was a few times when we were on the scooter going like through two tiny buses on the edge of the cliff that I was like, oh boy. And normally stuff like that doesn't bother me.
And so it's pretty much just like what everybody would picture Italy being then, with the just the side of the road going up a mountain with a giant cliff, because
Yeah,
that's what I'm picturing
basically.
in my head.
Yeah.
And a team of donkeys taking your luggage up the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, that was cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, different. How was the food?
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I.
I like to cook. I tried to recreate it already. I couldn't do it. I mean,
You
it wasn't bad, but
probably just can't get the ingredients even.
no, the tomatoes aren't the same. I'm not a tomato person at all. That's like probably one of my least favorite foods. And they were actually good there. Same with Connor. He doesn't normally like them either, but
And almost every restaurant over there has their own private garden. They pick stuff fresh, everything's seasonal. So it was amazing.
yeah, talk about a big leap from here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're like, where are we?
Yeah, that's awesome though. That sounds absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that had to have been one heck of a place to pass. How'd you guys decide on that? Did you both always wanted to go there? Or?
Yeah, and I was kind of looking around and like talking to people, and everyone recommended Italy. Like everyone was like, oh, if you're gonna go anywhere, go here. And we actually booked that before we started planning the
Yeah.
wedding. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I don't
we had
blame
a
them.
few options, but that ended up being the one.
Yeah, we were sitting there one night and I saw the Airbnb pop up and it was like the only available spot for like the next 2 years. And so I showed Connor and he was like, book it right now. So we booked it. And then I was like, oh no, you realize now like we have to get married this year. Because I was kind of debating on like this year or next year. And then I was like, oh, now we have to do this year because like our honeymoon is in September. So
Right.
yeah.
How long were you guys there?
We were there for 10 days.
10 days. Can I ask what the other options were? What you didn't decide on that almost made the cut?
Greece was one of
Yeah.
them. Switzerland, we were talking about once.
So
So big.
Europe.
Yeah,
Either
Europe.
way, it was
Yeah.
Europe. That's
Yeah,
pretty
somewhere
cool.
over that way.
Yeah. I thought about a cruise for a second because I like just getting on and like not having to worry about anything, but then I was like, that's a lot of people and just being like, we just wanted to be by ourselves basically. So it wasn't, I'm glad we did it the way we did, but
Pretty much the only stipulation to start with was I said I don't care what we do or where we go, but we're gonna go somewhere. We're not gonna do something in the States. We're leaving the country to go do something.
it was a long flight though. We were, what was it, 14 hours of travel time total, I think. And I get, believe it or not, I get super motion sick. Like
That's
soup.
hilarious.
Like
It's really
I
bad.
can't even ride in the car. Like I have to drive most of
She
the time.
usually ends up being the chauffeur half the time we go somewhere, because she'll get so car sick that I'll have to pull over and stuff.
Oh, I get so
So how does
nauseous.
that work?
If I'm driving, I'm fine.
Okay.
Like if I could fly a plane to Europe, I would, and I would be fine. But it's just the actual riding. That drive, I can't look at my phone for even 2 seconds. I get nauseous. I can't do anything. So I basically drugged myself. I took Dramamine. I had like a patch. I took melatonin. Like I knocked myself out to get there.
Funny, because she was actually falling asleep at dinner the first night there when the drugs were still wearing off.
That is the wildest thing I've ever heard. I never thought that a race car driver would get motion sickness.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Wow. And that just it blows my mind, because when I was in that car, it just feels so weird. It's so unnatural. It's not what you want to do, and I would think that that would get you really sick, but never a problem.
Never, never, ever. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's the same thing with the car. Like, if I start getting like nauseous at all, I'd be like, okay, gotta pull over. I gotta drive. And I can drive and feel fine. I don't know if it's just like a control thing or I pay attention more. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
So poor Connor gets stuck being the
Oh,
GPS.
yeah.
Sometimes I don't mind.
It's probably a good thing that he's the GPS man.
Oh, why
If I'm...
would that go bad too? No sense of direction.
No sense of
No.
direction.
I feel like you're speaking from experience.
Oh yeah, it's a good thing
Ask,
we have to drive in a circle at the track.
ask her how we made it through Italy and on and made it home.
Yeah, I wouldn't have made it.
No.
No, not even a lie. I am so bad at directions.
So how did you guys decide what you were going to do? Because you go to Italy and there's got to be a million things to do. Did you guys just kind of relax and say, we're just going to take this and do whatever we want? And or was there something you said, I have to see this or do this or?
We did a lot of research, kind of finding like where we wanted to go. So we had a few things planned out, and like I booked reservations for dinner almost every single night. But the rest of the stuff during the day, we woke up in the morning like, what do we want to do? Like, do we want to hike up a side of a mountain, or do we want to go to the beach, or do we want to go shopping? Like, there's a bunch of stuff around there. And it was nice because the people that own the Airbnb kind of told us too, like, hey, it's like this is a really good spot to go, or go look at this day. So that was nice. So we did a couple like day trips and stuff too.
And there was 2 different days we went and got lost on a scooter and just drove for an hour or so one way and looked around in that town that we stopped in and got lunch and then drove back.
We did get caught in a rainstorm though. Drenched.
Like
Like we were soaked.
on the
It was
scooter.
bad. Yeah. I was really trusting because he was driving. Because the people we rented it from were like, you have to have motorcycle experience. I was like, I don't. So he drove the whole time. And so when we were going in the rain, like in between all this traffic and going around like these huge corners, I was like, okay, just trust him. We
So
made it.
how did you do motion sickness wise then on the scooter?
That was fine because I was like out in the air and I was right there watching, so that wasn't too bad. That's why we got it, because when I got on the bus, we had to get off a couple times way before we actually had to, because I was like, you have to get me off this bus. I'm like, this isn't gonna be good.
How long of a ride was it from the airport to where you guys were staying?
So we actually rented a car. We flew into Rome and then drove almost 4 hours north, south down the coast. It was like 3 hours and 50 minutes down the coast.
Man, I just think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Was it
Yeah, it
weird?
was really pretty.
Was it weird getting adjusted to being on the other side of the road?
See, we thought the same thing. They don't drive on the other side over there.
You kidding me?
No, not where we're
Wow.
at anyway. Maybe in some other parts, but.
Yeah, we got in the car. We were expecting to be like on the opposite side in the car and on the road. And we like saw the car. It was like a tiny little Fiat. And I was like, wait, you're on the correct side of the car. And then we pulled out in the road and we were like, oh my gosh, all the traffic's on the correct side too. So then we were happy because we didn't have to deal with that. But
Yeah, the only right-hand drive cars were, for the most part, were all the fancy sports cars and stuff, which there was a lot of.
I'm sure. I'm sure there were. That's awesome. That sounds like it was. That sounds great. You're gonna have a tough time topping that on your next vacation, though.
Yeah, for sure.
So Connor, have you ever thought about driving anything other than a sportsman?
No, if I was ever going to drive anything else, it'd be a modified. I don't know if you remember, I drove Brian Doolittle's backup car. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
The
I do
for the
remember that.
last race of the year, and that was the first time I'd ever driven anything more than the horsepower of the crate car. So it took me. I don't know. I kept telling him that I was just going to putt around and take it easy, and he was kind of adamant that I had to get after it. So I told him I'd take it easy for the first couple laps. I don't know what it was, maybe 8 laps, first 8 or 10 laps. And then a caution come out and I was like, oh wow, I'm in like 12th right now. And there was a full field that night. So I drove it a little harder the rest of the race, but I was just there just in case he needed it and just to have fun. I wasn't actually driving it to race it. I didn't want to tear up his stuff and whatnot, but
Did you
it
go
was a lot of fun.
right? Did you go right from a go-kart to a sportsman?
Yeah, there was talk when I was becoming of age, around that age of jumping into the sportsman, we were down there at the Carlisle auction, the show there at the end of the year. They do that big sale every year up in the parking lot there by Harrisburg. And my dad found a smoking deal on some micro sprints, and he called my mom. They talked about it, and she's like, "Well, we already have all the stuff for the modified. Why don't you just put them in the modified in the sportsman?" So they hemmed and hawed about it. He passed on the deal, and that's how I wound up in a sportsman. Otherwise, I might be racing sprint cars right now.
Boy, that'd be different.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that, Isabel? Him driving a sprint car?
Yeah, it would just be hard because he'd be
Right.
traveling so much, probably. We wouldn't
Yeah.
be at the same track ever.
Probably would have been a lot more expensive with how I drive sometimes.
What?
I like to push the car to its limits and then plus some, and come in with its tongue dragging behind the car. So,
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. I think you would learn your lesson after a while in a sprint car, though. Because,
when you see dirt sky after a few times, it'd probably get old and expensive.
yeah, right. Yeah, because they're pretty unforgiving once they go up and over. At least, from my perspective. I think for the most part, a modified, I know Isabel probably disagrees with this, but for the most part, if you wreck a modified, usually it's not quite as bad. But I know you've had a couple that are pretty rough, or at least
We've had
none
a
that I
few.
can think of.
Yeah, there's been a couple, one in particular.
Have you ever rolled it?
No, I haven't.
Have
Connor
you?
did once, right?
Mm,
Oh no, that
no,
was your brother.
I've never rolled. I've came very close. I should have rolled it, but I never did. My brother rolled it once at Outlaw in turn 3 and 4, but you should have rolled that night.
Yeah, there's been a couple times at Outlaw where I thought I was going over, or I've went like partially over, and I'm like, and then it was fine. So,
That's how I felt the entire time in the car.
well, it does feel like that. I remember the first time I tried out the crate. I went from go-karts to that, and so like the first time I went to go set the car on the corner, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just gonna keep going. So like it took like a year just to get used to that feeling, I feel like, but.
I thought I was going 100 miles an hour and I was going to flip over, and I would go into the corner and then I'd correct myself because I was getting scared.
Yeah.
I'm a better announcer than I am a driver, I guess, because I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, now you know what to work on next time.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there'll be a next time. It put me in my place. But it did do exactly what I wanted it to do. All I wanted was I wanted to be able to say that I've sat in one and I can kind of see what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, yeah.
Now, it's funny because a hobby stock was up on top of turn two and I almost had a heart attack. So I can't imagine how you guys feel when they're right next to each other. Was that a big learning curve for you guys, or just racing from a go-kart to more of a bigger car, having less room or more room? No, less room.
Not real. I feel like the biggest part was just like learning the feeling of the car, and then I don't know, just getting used to like how big the car is around you. Because I feel like once you, I don't know, it's like muscle memory, I guess, is the best way to put it. Is like if I see a car in front of me, like I don't have to really look at my car to know where I'm at compared to them. I just can tell. So like I don't have to really think about it as much anymore. Or like my first year, I'm like, okay, make sure you're not like running into the back of them, because you kind of just have to like learn where you're at. So I guess those were like the two biggest things. But racing next to someone, I don't know, I feel like I kind of just like get in the zone, if that makes sense, and I don't even look or think
Yeah.
about anyone else.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly how it goes, because I was thinking nonstop in that car. And I can't imagine that you guys do that. I've been told that once you put the helmet on, you just go and race and that's it. But I was thinking the entire time. Might have been the problem.
I feel like that can be people's problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you have an adjustment learning the track? Because Connor, I know you've seen Woodhull your entire life, but when you came in there and you saw just kind of how high banked it was and tight, were you kind of like, this is a little different?
Yeah, I mean, we used to race a Cooks in that's in
Yeah.
Addison, right?
No, it's
Or
in
that was
Lawrenceville.
Lawrenceville. And so that was like super bank too. So I grew up kind of racing on like a mini version of it. So it wasn't too bad, but I feel like it looks more banked when you're standing on it compared to when you're in the car. I feel like you kind of just get
I'll
used
agree
to
with
it.
that. I'll
Yeah.
agree with because I when I watched it as a fan, it never looked that banked. And it sounds weird because everybody says it's a big bank, but when you're down on the track, it's amazing just when
Yeah.
you look into the corners to see how banked they really are. But then when
Yeah.
you're in the car, like you said, it kind of it was almost weird. Almost you go through the corner and it's like I don't know how to put it, that you just kind of go through it. It's
Yeah, yeah.
weird. But you know.
Yeah, I've had a few times where just in conversation with different people all over the place, I've talked to them, showed them pictures of the racetrack, and tried to explain it to them, like, no, you actually don't understand how steep this place is. Have you watched NASCAR? And they're like, oh yeah, I watched NASCAR. Okay, have you ever watched Dover and the video of the corners of how steep it is? That's what it's comparable to.
Yeah,
It's like a little mini Dover.
it's really funny when rain's never funny, but when we're in a rain delay or something and somebody tries to walk up it or down it, it's a lot of fun to watch. I don't
Yeah.
know if you guys can see that over in the pit area, but you know.
Oh, usually I'm hiding in the
Yeah, I could see that. Usually I don't like the rain either, so I don't blame
trailer.
you. So how is it being a girl, I guess? Because so my daughter's two, so she's not really there yet, but I kind of can't wait for her to come to the races and kind of understand that, hey, look, that's a girl. You know, look at she's winning all these races and it's a girl, because you don't see it a lot.
No.
There's really a handful of you guys, especially in the modifieds. And it so how does that make you feel, I guess, just knowing that the little girls in the stands are kind of looking up to you?
Yeah, I love that they all look up to me, and it's kind of always been that way. Just like even in the go-karts, I remember like having a bunch of little kids run up to me, which I love because it'd be nice if more girls could get into this sport. Because I feel like really anyone can do it. You just have to like get into it and get started and just never give up. But some of the guys really don't like it when I do good, I will say that. And it's been like that forever. So you kind of, I feel like when I was in go-karts, like 15, 16, I was kind of like, why do they all hate me? And then it's like, you kind of just get used to it. Now I'm like, okay, well, if they hate me, I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I always said that people aren't going to hate you if you lose all the time.
That's
They're
true.
only going to hate you if you win. So
Exactly.
I don't know, and that goes really for every way. There's a lot of guys hated Billy. I don't know so
Yeah.
much about drivers, but a lot of fans hated Billy. You know, simply
Yeah.
because you win all the time, and you know,
Yeah.
get up.
Yeah. That's just how it goes.
But do you think people don't like getting beat by a girl more? Do you think that that's something of it, or?
I do think that could definitely be part of
Yeah,
it.
that's definitely been a more pressing thing for sure.
Yeah, because you can tell like they're like when people get beat by other guys, it's more of like a manly competition, I guess. But then you like throw me in the middle of it, and it's like you can just tell.
Hey,
You
I
get
mean,
a
that's
she
go
gets
ahead.
a lot of the congratulations and the come up, shake your hand, and pat her on the back and tell her that was awesome. That whole part of it. And then the other half of it, they won't even look at you when they walk by.
Yeah.
I think it is awesome. Because right now I have a little blonde haired, blue eyed 2-year-old, and
Yeah.
I think it is awesome. You
Yeah,
know,
you gotta get her in a go-kart.
yeah. Well, you know, dad needs to get a better job.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't know. I don't even know how much are go-karts. I mean, are they? I mean, I don't know. Can they be that
I have
much?
no idea how much they are nowadays.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm
I'm
really
sure
not
you could
sure.
probably find one out there fairly cheap.
Right.
Probably, yeah.
At
At
least
least to
get the start.
start.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
problem is if she loves it.
Yeah. It's
And then you're
addicting.
right. Well, you know. And I most drivers, I'd say, I think there's one or two that don't like me. But I think most of them do like me, and that, you know, once you get another driver out there, and you know, it might Maybe that might
That's
wear off a little.
true.
But I don't know. I guess I can't worry about that, so.
Yeah.
But no, I think it would be awesome. And like I said, or like you said too, anybody could do it. I run demolition derbies, which is mostly a male dominated thing too, but I can tell you the past 2 years I've had my ass handed to me by a girl at the Steuben County Fair. So
I
yeah.
think that would be fun, actually. We went and watched it, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And I've never even been to a demolition derby. Like, I never
Would you
watched one
try
before.
it?
Oh, yeah, I would try it.
Unbelievable. Would
But
you?
Oh
we went and watched, and I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. And I was like, this is kind of crazy,
yeah.
actually.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're hard.
I'm sure.
It's tough. I don't know. Some days you feel worse in the mornings. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you never been. Has your family ever ran them, Connor?
No, we've got a couple good family friends that derby all the time, and that have, but we've never gotten into that.
Who's who are the good family friends?
Jarrett Stone with
Mm-hmm.
Stone's Tree and Stump Removal is one of
No.
our sponsors on the car.
Oh, well, that's good.
He does lawn care. I think that's what it's Stone's Lawn Care. I can't remember exactly now. You know how long it's been since I've looked inside of my car?
Too long, I'd assume, if I asked you.
I think I looked at it for about 30 seconds on Saturday, this past Saturday, when I was in the garage for a few hours with my dad, and he had moved it over into the out of the new part of the shop and into the third bay and shoved it in a corner, and it's got stuff piled up all around it, and I haven't looked at it and since the last time I was at Woodhull.
So is that kind of how you guys do it? You guys kind of have your own operations?
Yeah, so he always goes to his dad's and then I go to my parents. I don't know if we would ever really combine it. We actually have a like barn here at our house that's a pretty, how big is it?
It's 44 by 75.
So it's pretty
Nice.
decent size. It doesn't have any like doors or anything on it yet. We want to like enclose it and insulate it and put heat in it, but we decided we probably want to put a new shell on it just because it's old. Like my dad built it when he was little.
Really?
So maybe down the road eventually we would like put everything here, but like at my parents' house, it's literally like a small two bay garage that we do everything in, so.
Are
I
you
keep
guys,
what's
go ahead.
that? No,
I was
you
gonna say I keep joking around with my dad, telling him that we're gonna move everything. I mean, all my stuff's already there, but I keep joking around telling him we're gonna move all their stuff down there because last year we added onto our shop. Our original shop was a 40 by 60, and then we added another 40 by 50 on it. So we're 100 foot long now, and we got lots of garage space. But you wouldn't believe the amount of race car stuff we have shoved in there.
Well, I'm sure. Does Colin
It
work out of there
fills.
too? No, that was part of the joke too. We tried getting Colin to come down there just so there was even more stuff, and then there'd be a race car in every bay. Well, I've always been told that once you get into racing, you just accumulate crap before you even know it.
Oh, yeah.
But
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I got tires coming up from everywhere. About every sort of tire. I got one if you ever need it. But except for racing, you know. But yeah, that's crazy. I always thought that all three of you guys worked out of your dad's shop, but I guess I didn't know Colin didn't.
He always did before, but when he moved back up from North Carolina, I think he had his car there for a short period of time, but then when he bought the house that he moved into, that he had a garage there. He was far enough away, it was just easier for him to work on it out of that garage instead of having to drive a half an hour back to my dad's. You know,
Right.
when you spend late nights in the garage, it's a lot nicer to just walk across the yard into the house.
So how does that work for you guys? You guys just meet up. Well, I guess you didn't really race much this year, but do you guys just kind of meet up at the end of the day and well.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we basically just work on our cars the same night, or like we'll do it like Monday, Tuesday, and then if there's anything else to do, like I'll go with him, or he'll come with me a different day. But basically, we'll see each other on Saturdays. Or when he raced at Outlaw and I raced on Saturday, what was it, two times that you weren't there in the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
It's basically like he went Friday and I worked late on Friday, and then Saturday he washed his car and I went racing, and then Sunday he went to work and I washed my car on Sunday. So just long weekends.
Yes.
Well, you know, if one of you are gonna race Friday and the other one Saturday, it's gonna be a long weekend. But
Yeah.
then
Oh,
you
yeah.
but then even if you both race Saturday or both race Friday, it's still gonna be a long weekend, so
Yeah.
yeah.
It is.
When we were racing the same night there, and for a while, we tried to make set days during the week, pick a couple and make it there when we could, but with all the crazy stuff we always have going on, sometimes those days get scrapped and it gets pushed to the next day. Did your dad ever think about driving a sportsman?
My dad?
Well, I met Connors, but sure, yeah,
Oh.
your dad.
Oh yeah, he did.
Okay.
When I forget who owned the track at the time, but when the sportsman class first came to Woodhull, my dad was racing in the what were those? The not super stocks. I can't remember now what they actually called them, but it was that class anyway. And maybe it was super stocks. I think it was, but he moved to the sportsman. He ran those for like 2 years, I think it was 3 years, and then I got into one.
Have you ever driven a hobby stock?
Yeah.
Have you?
Was it last year? I think it was,
No, it
or
was 2 years
2 years
ago.
ago. So the first time that we had both cars at the track, we actually, because I built both of those cars that my dad was driving, and the first year we didn't get both cars there because we were waiting on motor parts. The motor parts that we needed for the other car didn't show up till like July, so we kind of took our time and didn't bother to even finish the car. So we ended up finishing it after we got the motor done in July, and then come around to the next season, which was 2 years ago. We took both cars to the track, and I drove it during the practice session the first 2 weeks of the year there. But other than that, I didn't actually race one.
So what was the other car? I can't remember.
There's a 7 car and the 87.
I guess I don't remember the 7 car.
My
I don't.
brother was driving the 87 car for a while, and
Okay. Yeah,
my
okay.
dad was driving the 87 full time.
Okay, yep. No, I can remember. Huh. Did you like it? I heard it's a lot different on DOT tires.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was. It
Yeah.
was different enough to tell you that I'll never build one myself to own one and race it, I'll tell you that.
What about you, Isabel? Has anybody in your family ever thought about joining you in racing?
Not really. Well, my sister tried go-karts actually, but wasn't a fan. She tried it one time. My dad built, because she's like 4.5 years younger than me. So I was prop, I don't know, she had to be like 5 or 6 when she tried it to begin with, because my dad bought her a go-kart. So we had three matching go-karts because I was racing two classes. And so he bought her a go-kart, but she was too short. So he like extended the pedal, had it like covered in diamond plate. And when she was going around the track, her foot got caught. And so she was like flooring it around Moe's and spun out, and then got out of it like crying and said, "I'm never racing this again." So then she drove her yard cart a few times, and I think she would have tried, like when I first got into the crate, she was kind of interested in it again, but never really tried it or anything. So
She was also big into volleyball and stuff too, so the
yeah.
sports and stuff that she played probably had something to do with it too.
But it's funny because I have family that live in Virginia and Kentucky, and my family from Virginia, I have three cousins that are around my age. So every single time they'd come up, because they always came up a couple times a year, each one of them tried it, and it all ended in a disaster every single time. So we kind of gave up on that.
Yeah, I don't I yeah, I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. It's so much harder than it looks. It just the getting into the corner. Yeah. The things that you watch and you think are so simple, and you think, boy, I could do that. I learned real quick.
That's what I always tell my dad. I'm like, you need to get in a car, because he sees like the engineering aspect of it, and it's like, do this, do this, and that's like our biggest fight ever. I'm like, don't tell me how to drive, just like. And so it's funny because I'm like, you have to get in a car. It was funny because Turner offered for me to get in his modified at the end of the year, and my dad was like, you'll never fit in his seat, because I was standing next to him like staring up at him like this, and I was like, yeah, you're right,
Probably
I won't be able
not.
to see over the
Yeah.
steering wheel. And so with my dad being like 6'5", I was like, you could get in his car and try it. And he was like, no, it's fine, I'll just watch. So it was always funny because I always try to like bug him and get him to try it. But we did, so when I was racing go-karts, we went, do you know who David Ruderman is? He was a NASCAR
Yeah.
driver. We went to his dad's house in South Carolina when I was younger, and he had a go-kart track at his house. And so my dad was friends with him, and so we went and raced at his little go-kart track, and I lapped both my parents like three times when I was like 8 years old. So I always rub that in their face to this day. So we'll see. I don't know. I think it would be fun for my dad to try it, because it looks a lot different than what it actually is.
Is. I don't know if you remember Josh McAtura. He was
Yes,
the
I
number
do.
88. So if you've seen him in person, he's a pretty big guy himself. We tried to get Brent to drive that car after the races a couple times too, because we're good friends with him as well.
Yeah,
So
I think we need to do it.
yeah, we
I
shall
think we
sign a
need to do it.
petition.
Yeah, I think you should start bugging him.
Yeah, we can all start hounding him.
Yeah.
He's gonna love
Yeah. He always says, I don't want to show you up.
You know what? You know what's really funny is my dad says the exact same thing.
It's just a dad thing.
Well, my dad did it for years before when I was really little, and that's what got me interested in it. And he just tells me all the time, oh yeah, now I got I'll let me hop in that thing, I'll show you how it's done. And then he says, well, I'm too old, I would do it if I thought I could walk the next morning, is what so maybe it is just a dad thing. How'd you guys come up with your number, both of your numbers?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
Really?
I'm not sure. No.
I think I just like that. I used to play soccer and I played softball when I was little, and apparently I've always had that number. I just said I wanted 4 and I just stuck with it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what mine was.
Yours has got
All
to
of
be
our
a brown
numbers,
thing.
yeah, all of our numbers had a 7 in it. Like my dad's always been 87. When my grandfather was, because at one point when we were big into the go-karts when I was younger, we had like 10 or 12 go-karts, and we actually had a go-kart track right in our backyard at one point too. And we were racing Friday nights and stuff over there, and then coming to Woodhall on Saturday, and we were racing 3, 4 nights a week at one point, because us kids were racing multiple nights a week in the go-karts, and my dad was racing every Saturday at Woodhall. And but all of our numbers, even my grandfather's, his was 17. My brother took my dad's number 87, and then my sister ran 17 as my grandfather's. And as far as not my number, I couldn't tell you. Maybe I just liked the sevens and wanted two of them. I don't know.
I was gonna say you switched, right? Because you used to be what 7N, right? Is that
Actually, that car was Jacob Trowbridge's car. He had bought another car to have as a backup car and stuff, and he had bought it, and with everything that we had going on with the house, and I wasn't gonna race, and he couldn't have that. He loved to watch me race and drive, and he says, he calls me up one day, I leave for work, and he's like, hey, so Sunday night I went and may have done something. Like, okay, what? Like, what's going on? What's up? Because I went and bought another car, and I want you to drive it for me. Oh, okay. Yeah, why don't you come up to the shop tomorrow night and grab it? Then you can work on it, and we'll have it at the track next weekend. All right, cool. So that's what we did. He went and got a couple tires and we got some fuel and went to the track, not having a clue what this thing was going to do, because he had just picked it up. And I went out there and I don't remember what ended up happening. Anyhow, I just about was gonna win that race and ended up finishing second. And then I finished second the next 3 weeks in a row in that car, right out of the gate. And that was that I ended up driving that car, but that body was next to brand new, and that's just what came on it. It was
Okay.
kind of pure luck that it had a number 7 on the side of it.
Yeah, almost like it was fate, huh?
Yeah.
You guys got a whole family thing going, really. There's a lot of racing in your guys' family for Isabel, for you being the only racer in the family. They're all
Yeah.
over the place.
Yeah, like now I can't go to the track. I have to like worry about like his whole side of the family. Like there's Colin and then Quentin and Braden and then McKenna.
McKenna's in a car now. She was running at Outlaw this year.
Yeah, and then like my sister's dating Jacob Trowbridge, so then there's Glenn and Jacob. And so I'm like, geez, half the people I race with, I like have to be careful. Although I'm usually not careful, I kind of just do what I gotta do. I just apologize afterwards.
That's right. Sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
Exactly.
Sorry, honey, if I got to door you out of the way, but I'm going to the front.
Hey, she has too.
And he's not gonna be too mad at you.
Do you remember that thing we were talking about earlier, the not letting things go, picking on each other for years prior? We were racing over at the Hill one Friday night a couple years ago, and
Probably like 4 years ago.
yeah, it was because we've been together 5 years, and it was probably 4 years ago. It was a year after we met, and jokingly, I jump up on the quarter panel and I'm leaned over the roof. They're parked right next to us, and I yell over to her. She's climbing in her car. I say, "Hey, just because you start behind me, don't mean you get to hit me in the ass." And we go out on the track, and the green flag flies, and the field's bunched up, so you can't just smash it as soon as the gas comes. Smash the gas as soon as the green's dropping, because not everybody in front of you is firing quite yet
Some
sometimes.
people would disagree.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that would disagree with that because they can't pay attention to what they're supposed to look at. But anyhow, that was the joke. We get out there, the green flag comes down, and next thing I know, I'm looking backwards at turn four. She was the only car behind me because we started, dead last and second to last. And so that was one of the jokes, is she has done that. She has taken me out before.
So have you ever taken her out?
No, I should have that night.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, because I stole a spot too.
Because that was the other half of the story, is once we lined back up, there's not the radios were kind of terrible over there. You kind of just did whatever you wanted, and they let everyone do it basically. But I catch back up to the field, and I pull up next to her and try to get into my spot because she just spun me out. Well, apparently they didn't think so because they never said anything. They thought I just spun out on my own, so she stayed there because they didn't say nothing, even though she knows that she just spun me out.
I don't know.
Then I followed her the entire rest of the race because every time I get underneath her, she about put me in the Uke tire coming in the corner. So there was three or four times where I really could have pushed the issue and been mean and shoved her up the track, but I was not the nice guy, so
Yeah. It worked out for you in the end, right?
yeah.
You never know what would have happened if you would have just dumped her right off the bat, you know?
I wasn't very happy.
No, I that from what I'm hearing, that just means Isabella, he owes you one.
Yeah.
You better hope you guys are never running 1-2.
I have let her know I was behind her a few times while we're out there.
There's been a few times I've been nice to you too, so.
Yeah, there's a couple times that she let it slide. She could have pushed the issue and didn't, but goes both ways.
Does it make it harder sometimes racing against each other? You know, just because you know he's there and you don't, I mean, and or do you just not even pay attention? You're just gonna do whatever.
I don't really pay attention. Like if he's in front of me and there's like a lot of people like going back and forth around him, and then I pay a little extra attention to make sure that if he gets spun out or something, I'm not the one that takes his bullet. Like I make sure I'm like a little extra careful about where I'm like placed on the track just so I have extra time, because I don't really want to wreck both of our cars. But I don't know. Most of the time I'll look, if the caution comes out, I'll kind of like look and see where he's at, or like,
Look behind you.
yeah, behind me.
There's been a couple times where I was, starting to reel her in and was about ready to pass her, and something happened, or I spun myself out because I was pushing the car too hard, and she come back around, and I'm still sitting there trying to get the car fired up, and I just go.
We just wave at
That's funny. That's funny.
But to answer that question from my side is, if I'm in that situation where I'm trying to get around her or I'm catching her, I tend to push the issue a little harder just because I want to wave at her when I go by her.
Have you?
Well,
Maybe a couple
that's the
times.
other thing too, is I think Isabel's got a lot of wins in her short career, so
Yeah.
you need to get by her sometimes.
Yeah.
Just
We do
makes
have fun
that just makes for a fun week if you use her up a little bit to get by.
though.
Not to mention, as an announcer in the crowd, I bet you they go wild for that
Oh,
stuff.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, it's funny because we all talk about, because we're friends with Josh McAtura, and we're like, there's a whole group of us that all kind of grew up racing. Like my best friend, she used to race go-karts, and so like, there's a whole group of us that have like a little bit of racing experience, so we always joke that we need to go up to like Syracuse Mall or something and race each other in the go-karts there, or do something like
Yeah.
that, because we all have fun. Like we go down to Dell's Bar and Grill. They're actually one of my sponsors, and we play darts on Wednesdays. We haven't been because we've been so busy, but we all go play darts together, and we have to play a game until I win, because I can't not win at least once.
How does that make you feel?
Well, there's been a couple times where we may or may not have been on a not so hot streak, and I get kicked off the team because she thinks I'm the issue.
Are you the issue?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I'm the issue. Well, this last time we went, was it last Wednesday? Or 2 Wednesdays
Yeah,
ago now.
whatever it was.
Whenever we got back from Italy, we went
It was
with,
the first time we'd been in over a year, probably, and never had
we
been.
went with Josh and his fiance, and then my parents went too. And so we were all playing darts, and I could not. I used to hit the 19s like dead on every single time. I could hit a triple 19 every single time I stepped up there, but not this time. I was just hoping it hit the board this time. We were.
Yeah, and I was thinking bullseyes the whole time, but I was getting yelled at that we weren't winning.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Next time
Yeah,
it'll be your fault.
you'll have that on them big jobs.
I might be worse at darts than I was driving that race car, so that tells you something.
We used to be good at it. We always get asked if we play in a league every single time we're there. Like, are you guys in a league? We're like, no,
No.
we just spend our whole night here for no reason.
Couple fools just throwing stuff at a board.
Is there dart leagues? I didn't even know there were dart leagues.
Yeah, there's like full leagues. We used to play with a couple people that were in a league. We
Yeah.
did pretty good, actually.
Yeah, for just being in a little bar, they took it pretty serious a few times.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I've been to the bowling alley having a couple of adult beverages when there's been a bowling league, and boy, you would have thought they were racing for a championship.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't bowl to save my life.
not me neither, but a little
Yeah,
bit better than a race car in darts, I could say that, but
my uncle owns Crystal Lanes over there in is
Corning.
that a Corning address? In Corning. So yeah, I know just how competitive them guys can get. I've
Oh,
seen that, and my uncle, and yeah, so they get a little wild for that too.
Well, hey, we all have our things that we get all jazzed up about.
That's true.
But all right, well, hey, I kept enough of your time. Going about an hour here. Do you guys have any sponsors that you just want to thank? I guess it's quiet now and people are listening, so no PA speaker to deal with.
That's true. I want to thank Elmira Heat Treating, Kelly Auto Sales. Trying to think, it's been so long. Howard Hanna, SNS Alignment and Elmira, Dell's Bar and Grill. Trying to think. First Choice Lawn Care. Think Tire Jet. I'm probably missing one or two, but
Probably. I'd like to thank Corning Napa, Dunning Napa, Stone's Lawn Care and Tree Removal, Rotzel's with my mother. Oh, yeah,
I
it's been so long since I've really looked at the car, but I've got a handful of good sponsors that. Longtime sponsors that have always helped us out for a long time, and it just, couldn't do some of it without the guys, and it's just,
takes a village.
oh
It
yeah.
does. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys hopping on. That was a lot of fun. I'm glad that I got to, I felt like I was almost in Italy with you. So that's awesome. You guys have a good rest of your night.
You too.
You
Thank
too.
you.
So once again, I do want to thank D&L Disposal, the first call for your waste management needs. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. Once again, I do want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. A big thank you to Isabel and Connor Brown for joining me here this evening. I hope to see everybody at the banquet. Just a quick reminder that last day to RSVP for that is on October 21st. Now, I don't know if that means you can't come or if you just can't eat, but either way, last day to do that is October 21st. Please just message the Woodhall Raceway Facebook page. We're also Woodhall Raceway 64 on TikTok. Well, until next week, I hope you all have a great week, and thanks for listening.